So this week, just out of the, you know, as I would imagine, as we start to preach into this, I trust we're affecting the spiritual realm. Literally, we were offered a building last week, and we trust in God. Is this a building for us? But it could be, maybe it's for something else, and we will decide as elders, and if it is, we feel God's leading us that way, obviously we'll track that. But isn't that amazing, is that buildings are becoming available. I spoke to another guy amongst us, one of our family members, who's got an incredible vision for wellness center, and potential even funding for that. And so again, that's something that we've spoken about as key to the Citadel in Glenwood, we sense, is primary healthcare and wellness. I got a message yesterday from a guy who's earmarked Glenwood. This is another guy. He sent me a message. They've earmarked Glenwood as a place where they want to do, and he's a secular version of the Citadel. And of all the suburbs in the country, they think Glenwood is the place where this thing should happen. And then Nigel Tarbiton, if you want to get onto Facebook, I introduced Nigel Tarbiton. He's from Metropole. He's the designer and the architect with Tyrone at Metropole of this incredible building. I interviewed him last week, and he said some profound things, which I wanted to play back to you this morning, but I don't think I'm going to have time. But just go and listen to that interview with Nigel and hear some of his profound revelation around architecture and God and the journey with him. Again, to say that this is something that God has put into our hearts, not Mark's heart, our hearts, many different people. And there really is freedom in knowing that we are partnering, that God is our partner in this adventure. So Sean, I don't know if you've got that picture of the dining room table there, if you can just put that picture up. And there's a dining room table. And this is no ordinary dining room table, as you can see, that this has, we've even named the legs here. It's four legs, but these are the four foundations I believe God's put in my heart around to preach into the Citadel, that the Citadel is these four foundations are key to the architecture. One is that it's missional. Two, that it's communal, and I kind of almost want to say radically communal, but it's radical on all these things. But just community is so key, that it's sustainable and that it's a platform. But I want you to see that picture, because I want you guys to hear that when we speak about this, it's all landing around a dining room table. And you see to the right there that there are people communing around a dining room table. That's something that we are really passionate about, is that actually we saw Jesus model dining room Christianity. It was around the table that he had intimacy with God and one another. And so whatever we do here in the architecture, the plan is that it actually lands on your dining room table. So that's the picture. And so this morning, I really do want to speak then into briefly these four legs of the table. And then we'll build it further in the next couple of weeks and really take some chunky time out to speak on mission and unpack what it means to be on mission, to unpack fully what it means to be sustainable, to unpack fully what it means to be communal, and to really unpack the platform in a very real way. So we know that we've really done justice to this incredible vision over the next couple of weeks. Okay, so what would you say? I mean, all of these foundations are massive, but I'm going to start with the mission, because at the end of the day, if this is not about a building so much as it is about us going on mission. This is just a tool in our hands to radically influence the environment that we are, the environment, and which means people. This is not like a building project just because we need to, like even Solomon said, you know, he wanted to build all these buildings, and at the end of his life, he built all the buildings, he did all these things, and he said, well, what's the point of it? Actually, the truth is, it only has relevance if it's got an eternal perspective, and that means that we're on mission. It's that we're using the building to get people saved, absolutely, and we're using our creative ability then in architecture to radically influence people so that they can meet with Jesus. That's what we want to do. And so often, I think people come into church, and honestly, most people don't want to come into church building, because they just feel it's irrelevant sometimes, and they feel awkward. And listen, I just hear that. I mean, I think the Holy Spirit does do that as well, because they're dealing with their fear, and most times people don't like change. However, we really need to think, how can we get clever with the building? It's not one day a week, it's 24/7, which means it's open day and night, and there's all kinds of life happening within the architecture. So it is absolutely missional. And you know, a buildings and an architecture really are there to speak a message. And you'll hear Nigel's, if you listen to Nigel's messages, you know, it's an art. It's artists. People are impacted by art. I love what Nigel said. He said, you know, the Eiffel Tower generates no income in the actual building, but generates massive income because everyone in the world in tourism wants to come see the Eiffel Tower. So these cities and cities are given identity through the buildings, because a building is something that God puts in your heart, and you speak something of what God's put in your heart. So for Nigel, when I asked him, I said, Nigel, you know, you've built these massive buildings. Well, really what he's doing is he's saying, this is what Jesus has done in my heart. Now I need to express that in my gift. And that looks like an 88-story building that costs 6 billion rand. Because that's my way of expressing something of Jesus in your heart. So these buildings become tangible assets, if you want, in the kingdom, where we express the art, we express Christ through the building. And so they really are there to invite others, just as the Eiffel Tower invites people, thousands, millions of dollars or euros every year just to see the Eiffel Tower. So likewise, we got a dream that the architecture that we build invites people in to meet with Christ. No one better. And really, you know, one of the characteristics around Jesus is that he was quite covert in his mission to others. You know, have you often wondered, why did Jesus say, no, don't go and tell others, don't go and tell those people that you got healed by me? And even we know that the people felt nothing. There were people, I must say, I'm very encouraged by this, that Jesus even chose Judas, that there were people who saw Jesus and said, no, I don't want to follow you. I want to go and bury my father. There were people that didn't believe Jesus. Isn't that encouraging? I think sometimes we think, oh, well, Jesus must have been absolutely, why could you not met Jesus? Maybe you guys think today, I wish I had met Jesus. It's so unfair that Peter and James met Jesus. But you know what? There were people that met Jesus and still didn't believe in him. And so it's very interesting that Jesus operated in that way. There was almost this covert mission where he was absolutely ordinary, yet he was also absolutely extraordinary. And he was like a lover. If you see in the Song of Songs, that picture of Jesus, like this lover that kind of hides away and he waits for you to pursue him, and he kind of hides. And that's very much what Jesus is like. You know, and because he's a lover. And you know, if you are not married yet, and you are in that single time of your life, and maybe you desire to find a wife, you know, you don't just meet somebody on the first night and say, hey, I want to marry you tomorrow. You know, you've got to dance a little. You've got to play the game. You know, when Nikki and I started courting, you know, I didn't just throw it all out there. I said to her, I said, hey, do you want to come watch me I need some help. I've got lots of other friends, you know, could help me with a doozy, but I feel like you might need an adventure. Why don't you come help me second in the doozy? You know, and then she could see me second. Then she was second in the doozy. And then I had moments, you know, where I knew I'd be picking up my canoe. And as I'd pick up the canoe, I'd flex a gun, you know, and she'd say, wow, look at this guy's guns. You know what I mean? The thing is, you had to be a little bit subtle. You know, you don't just throw it all up there. And Jesus is the same. He's wooing us. He's asking us, come on. And so our architecture, likewise, and what I want to say this morning, guys, what I really want to say is that when I speak about these things, we are starting to see it in the Citadel where I'm standing here. When people walk in here, they don't think this is a church. They think, what is this place? It's nice. This is the Citadel is meant to be prophetic. It's meant to be futuristic, because we are prophets that see the future and bring the future into the present. And so we don't want guys with the paper-based system in this office. You need to be in the cloud. Put all your stuff in the cloud, because, you know, that's simplifying life. We don't want to cut down the tree. So in other words, it's prophetic. One of my dreams for this place is that we would have robotics here, a robot. Because, you know, the world is going robotic. And can you believe it? One of the first skills development things we did here with Christian Besson, and he never heard me say this, was robotics. And I just love that, because we're trying to express something of the prophetic destiny of human beings who, under the grace of God, create things. So we mustn't be scared of creating. Yes, people can use robotics for harm, but people can use robotics for good. And so we are, the creation yearns for the sons of man to be revealed. And so as we start to invent and we start to anticipate the future, so we start to develop things that are very relevant for people, to help people. That's the point. It's not to try and be clever, it's to help people. So when people are coming to this place, they need to say, you know, what is it? What's going on? Just like Jesus, they didn't quite get him, but when they started feeling the atmosphere. And you know, one of the things I'll speak about in the platform, but when you have people working in their gift and call, when you see Christian Besson, who is passionate about robotics, it's catchy. Like, because he's passionate about it. And when you see Christoph mixing music and producing music, you want to be around there. It's catchy. So it's because he's working in the gift of God. And so when people start engaging in this environment, they start saying, I want what you have. When Thando Nkangana is doing Rhythm of Grace and he's drumming those drums, he's operating in his calling. And so that it's missional in the sense that when you come to a place and you see a whole lot of people operating in their gift and their call, it's inspirational. They're starting to represent what it means for the sons of man, how creation yearns for the sons of man to be revealed. And I want to say, guys, we've already seen that happening here at the Citadel. This is not as much as we are dreaming for this big building, and we really do dream for it. It's happening now. We're not being unfaithful with being diligent and taking the small steps. And I can tell you, one of the reasons we position ourselves in this area in Glenwood is because it's a buzz zone. There are incredible restaurants. These guys worked in Michelin star restaurants below here. They are amazing people. They don't have to be saved. And I don't think they are. Yet we have, by positioning ourselves here, impacted the environment here, I trust. We have so many 30-second conversations with Justin downstairs and Adam and Brett and Laura and just loving and just being, you know, loving them covertly. But more than that, I said we're going to position ourselves in the marketplace because we will meet people, we will engage, we will get people saved. And you know, I walked down here, you know, Stuart was having lunch with his dad. I just happened to mix up his dad for his brother. And as I went down there, I thought, oh my gosh, this is not the guy I thought. And met Stuart there, and you know, what a blessing he's been in my life, in our community. And this is the kind of Tracy, Justin, Bongi, Georgie. I know Jason speaks to Georgie all the time. Brett and Laura, listen, this is real. People are being impacted by the fact that we have chosen to be in a certain space, in a certain area. And I feel what God wants to do is he wants to build on that. The second thing I want to say, the second foundation to the Citadel is community. Where there is unity, God commands a blessing. And central to the architecture of the Citadel is the creation of unity. And using, again, this space as an example, we have two other churches that are sharing office space with us here. And that is just amazing. I mean, I think that was probably one of the greatest days in the Citadel was when Harbor City and Livingstones and Robert and Zamora agreed. They said, we want to share space with you. And you know, guys, we really need to think to ourselves, how do we spend more time together in this chaotic and crazy world that we're living in? We are not like the Israelites who could go through the desert and commune with each other all the time. You know, if you go to Hollywood or Beverly Hills, go and look at a drive around there where the enemy, I think, has got a stranglehold in that area because he knows the power of media. And I'm telling you, those walls are about 20 meters high, because what happens with when you in a fearful state and when you are the God and you are going after that kind of kingdom, which is the devil's kingdom, what happens is he builds walls around you and he isolates you. And the gospel is completely opposite. You know, and we've got to realize, though, that the world, we are increasingly living in isolated, even these complexes, you know, these estates, housing estates. I mean, in many ways, they're great. I understand because fear is a real thing in South Africa, but it's isolating and separating. And we've got to ask ourselves, how do we start to commune more? And so what architecture can do is it can say, well, let's use the architecture so that we spend more time together. And so it adds up. These small conversations over a long period of time adds up. And again, we've seen this outworking here. I've loved seeing, and the guys that have chosen to work here, Toby's worked here, Jason's next door, and the guys that have worked here, I've watched how they've changed and how they've got so engaged in the God story because they're in an atmosphere of faith where they're feeding off the environment. We have these conversations. They don't have to be long conversations, but because they're here all the time, even 30 seconds here, 5 minutes here, a little coffee here, And what happens is people feel connected and engaged. And really what we want to do is just expand that so there are more people that can be in the more space and be more engaged. And I've loved just our relationship build with Grant from Harbor City and with Robert and Zamore. And I've loved watching how when Ivan and Tracy and Sean, Ivan and Lindsay and Sean, just that, they, I mean, they just developed such a loving, love, just a beautiful relationship as they office together. There was so much laughter happening here because we were intentionally spending time together. And so at the heart of this is community, is spending time together. And you know, I really feel as God's been showing me this vision, I really feel that we're going to start living, not only working at the Citadel, but actually in the future, I believe we'll be living here as well. And so we start to really live in community. This is a big thing. And honestly, people will say, you know, this is like a kibbutz or whatever. No, you know what? We are designed to actually be together. And we can actually use architecture cleverly to facilitate that, where we still can have enough independence but actually be part of a real family. The third thing, and I'm going to take time to unpack that and another time, you know, later on. And then the third thing I want to speak about is sustainability. This is a word that the world knows well. And the reason it's such a buzzword at the moment is because there's burnout. Whether you've got your own business or whether you're a minister, we've seen in ministry just the burnout that happens. That actually we've got to learn to live a sustainable life. And again, architecture is fundamental to helping us live sustainably. Because architecture, as I said last week, is an enabler. And it can help us if we do it well. And so I want to speak about two, when we think about sustainability, firstly this morning, is just to speak about economic sustainability. Because finances are a big issue, and you know, church buildings can cost a massive amount of money. And my heart really is the church should pay nothing to be in the building, the actual church itself. That really, when we set the structure up properly, the church can be rent-free, because this building should be in, if we are the head and not the tail, when we have skillful land developers in our community and apostolically helping us, developing these buildings, they are going to generate incredible cash. And I mean that unashamedly. They will generate income. What you'll see later is that the Citadel is a PTY Limited, absolutely made to generate income, but it's owned by City Life, meaning that the income we generate goes to the poor. And the church can actually be us in the middle that just serve and disciple others without this pressure of finances. The second thing I want to speak about is the emotional pressure that comes with just work life, life as we know, especially even in ministry. Again, people burnt out, compassion fatigue. But we know that we actually know this, that the work is meant to be done by the priesthood. But the problem is we haven't used architecture to unlock the priesthood. And so what we do is we have a few people that do all the work and they get burnt out, and these are the professional pastors. That's not what Pentecost did. And yet our architecture and the way we lead often leads towards a person rather than towards the people of God. And so when we use architecture and we celebrate your gift. So Jason Stain's gift is he's passionate about jewelry. He's passionate about jewelry. He's doing jewelry. Sean is passionate about running. He wants to run 100 miles all the time. He loves running. So he's working his gift. What happens is he's happy because he loves running. That's a good place to start. If you're not happy, what are you doing? You're sucking lemons. You know what? No one wants what you got if you're unhappy. So what happens is actually people come into a space where actually he's in his gift and he can begin to minister to people because he's in a freeing, happy place. So the architecture is enabling us to minister not only to other people around, but to each other. And so when I come into a space, I'm encouraged as a person. And honestly, when we come to the Citadel, it should be the most alive, the most creative, the most exciting, the most dynamic. It honestly, I do believe that when people come into this environment, they will get healed. And I want to say this, that I've seen the guys that have hung around here, I've watched how God has changed. I've watched how God has taken their hearts and healed them. That's already happening. Now we need to put this on steroids. We need to expand. We have been born to live together. We have been born to spend time together. And you know what the Citadel enables? It enables us to pool our resources to have a great celebration. And so we start to create and land development to influence a community, but also that we celebrate not once a week, every day, 24/7. That's what Jesus did with the lost son when he came back to his dad. He had a party. When we come back to our Father, we should be celebrating. Christians, we should be full of righteousness and peace. And what's the third thing? Joy. Joy, joyful celebration. The fourth thing I want to say and speak about in the weeks to come is that this is a platform. Maybe, I'm passionate about all of these, but the releasing of the priesthood. I mean, I think, why is this such a deal? I mean, I was reading up about the Renaissance, which happened in the 1500s. And the Renaissance was in many ways inspired by Martin Luther and his revelation that we saved by grace. But a big part of that is that the priesthood should be released. Now, that's 500 years ago. And we sit today, and I still wonder if the mindset is, and a big part of that Renaissance was there's no sacred secular. You know, that actually if you are saved by grace, that means that you are a minister. We are all ministers, and you minister in your gift and your call. Yet 500 years later, honestly, I think the prevailing mindset in the world today, and even people ask me what I do, and I think, well, what shall I say? Should I say I'm a minister? Should I say I cremate pets? I don't know. It doesn't actually matter, really, because why should what I say be different to anyone else? I'm a son of God, filled with the Spirit, and I'm here to bless and influence and bless the nation and bless creation with everything that I have and to live life to the full. Yet it's taken 500 years still. I mean, women only got the vote in something like 1896 in New Zealand. 2,000 years after Jesus made the first witness of his resurrection, a woman. I mean, right there, 2,000 years ago, he made women the first witnesses to the greatest event that's ever happened. Yet 2,000 years taken for women to get the vote. Honestly, guys, this is why I think, I don't know, I think we are so hoodwinked by the enemy. And it's because of fear, and it's because we worry about what other people think. And honestly, we've actually just got to realize, you've got to take ownership and realize that Jesus gives us life, an abundant life. And when you embrace him, and when we create a leadership dynamic, where you take ownership because you've been made by Christ to fulfill a certain gift and call. When you do that, then we have to have architecture that facilitates that. So if I've got a mate, I mean, and we'll talk about it now. So, what could this look like in Glenwood? Let's think about it. What could this look like? Really, I mean, I'm speaking now of these four words. Let's actually get very practical and look at a building. And let's imagine some things here. There are two things I want to say, though, before we go there. And there are actually three things. Because I've got Nigel. I was going to bring Nigel in here from last night. But I'm just going to share what Nigel shared last night. But the two things we're going to ask ourselves. Because this Citadel and City Life and what we're doing, this juggernaut, which is an irrepressible church-planting, kingdom-advancing force, is there to influence and look different depending on the environment. So the first thing you've got to say is, what are the needs of the community in which we live? What are the needs around here? We've got to ask ourselves that question. And secondly, we've got to then look at the resources. You know, God sovereignly puts people together, families together. We need to look at the resources around us and say, okay, if this suburb, Glenwood, or even Durban, needs certain things, who have we got in? Have we got anybody in our community that we can help minister to those needs? And the last thing I want to say, and it's something absolutely profound that Nigel said, and please go and listen to, it's half an hour, my interview with Nigel Tarberton, who really designed the City Life Building and the Durban Tower, the Tower Project. He said this. I was asking him about these buildings, and I mean, obviously, I mean, massive buildings. I said, Nigel, just speak to me about it. I mean, surely, your mindset, he spoke so much about mindset and this reality that we almost don't feel like we're deserving of such a building. Even Durban, you know, Durban's called Durban. Why should Durban have an 88-story building that happens now to be, it will be if it's done, the highest building in the Southern Hemisphere? And that was never planned like that. And Nigel said this incredible thing, but he spoke around mindset. And I want to say this especially to us around mindset. He said, you know, when he was praying about this, he realized that he felt God lead him to David and Goliath, and we all know that story well. And he said, you know, and please, this is Nigel's revelation, this is not Mark's, and you can go and hear it. I actually wanted to play it this morning, but I'm unable to, so you can go and listen to it on Facebook. But I trust Nigel's given me grace just to share his what God showed him here. But he said, you know, those Israelites went to battle. Every day they lined up. They in the morning and the evening, they lined up. They put their kit on. They met Goliath. Goliath went boo, and they all ran away terrified. And they did this for 40 days in a row. And then David rocks up, shepherd boy, not unqualified. And he looks at this story and he says, what is this? Who dares stand against the armies of the living God? He goes to Saul, and Saul tries to put his armor on him. And then Nigel saw something absolutely significant. He saw that Saul wanted to put his bronze helmet on David. And Nigel immediately saw this. And if I said to you guys, bronze, what do you think of? Immediately, you think of third place. It's a mindset that these Israelites were in, that they were a third place nation, that they didn't deserve, that they didn't believe God in them. Yet David had defeated the lion. He defeated the bear. He knew what it meant to be a son of the living God. And he had a gold. He said, give me, I don't want a bronze. I'm not a third place. I'm a first place guy. He ran towards Goliath with his sling and five stones, smacked him, and then he chopped Goliath's head off. Amazing picture, because no doubt Goliath, it speaks about Goliath, would have been all covered in bronze. And David cuts the bronze mindset off the Israelites and saying, you are gold. You're not bronze. You're number one. You're the apple of his eye. And I want to say to us, Glenwood, I want to say to us, City Gate, we are gold. We do deserve the best. And I say that because I honestly believe there's a prevailing mindset that we are second rate. We third, we are not. God has put a 200, even more, potentially half a billion rand project in our hands. That's so over and above anything we could ever do. But the first thing, he wants us to know that we are gold, because we're his and he is great. So if we can bring that image up then, Sean, of the Citadel in Glenwood, which I've asked Tori to do, and just to bring clarity here, these are two buildings that Nigel has designed. The one is the City Life building on the bottom, and behind it is the tower, which is earmarked for the beachfront. And that tower is valued at 6 billion rand, and, well, the City Life building in Bulwer Park was valued at around 130 million, which is going to go up now. But I want to use this building to then speak into how architecture can affect a community and influence a community. And you'll see here that this is a multi-purpose building. It had a sports center, which then could also be church on Sunday as well as conferencing. It could also be used by the schools because there's not a 1,000-seater hall in Glenwood. And the schools, when they want to do their ceremonies or they want to do their celebrations, here's a facility that the schools could use. People, we can do indoor soccer there. We can do volleyball. We can do training. We can play indoor hockey. We can play basketball. I mean, it really is. We can really begin to, again, and when we put anointed people who teach basketball, we put anointed people who coach soccer, when we put anointed people who coach volleyball, what they start to do is affect and start to disciple all the people that come and play there. There was also space for the arts, for rhythm and dance and rhythm of grace. Tando, we could have a studio there where you see Urban Sounds is recording amazing music. We could put a recording studio there and a music school where Tando could do his rhythm of grace and he could train. And Tando is amazing in how he ministers to children through his gift. He does. He absolutely ministers to his pupils. He ministers Christ to them. We could have a homework center, a homeschool center. Education, as we know, is so important for our community. This building facilitates homeschooling or homeschool center or homework clubs. So we are, with Etemile, to engage with seven schools in Cato Manor. But these guys are desperate. They need help. And so we could at least take some kids and teach them in the afternoons and help them. There is a part of this building was a primary healthcare clinic or a wellness center. And we have a number of doctors amongst us who've got a passion to just fill the gap, fill the health gap that currently exists in Glenwood, where we can distribute medication and do primary health care and create a wellness center and maybe do a cancer center or something or an oncology center. We can do these things because we have some of those gifts amongst us that can serve the community. It can also play as an outdoor theater for concerts and plays. Wouldn't that be amazing to have an outdoor theater where we do concerts and plays and bless Glenwood? We can walk down the road and watch the artists. We've got artists and we can help facilitate the arts. Oh, wow. I just am so passionate about that. I want to take this further and imagine this building does have not this tower, but we could even go up a little bit and we could extend this building. That's why I showed this picture, because there's more we could do. We are already engaging with retail down here and other retailers where we could say, well, let's on the ground floor. I love the fact that there are amazing restaurants where people can get coffee and again, God, Musa can have his restaurant here because Musa's a chef in the making and he can become a master chef. And again, as you engage with Musa's amazing, sorry, that's my phone. Just, I'll take that later. Where's my phone gone? As people engage in the delights of Musa's hands, he can prophesy over them at the same time. We know that Trailshed and Sean and physios and dietitians, Jen Jardine's a dietitian. We can have a whole gym section. I've got a friend. I mean, the Switch Active Gym. So we could have one floor where there's just life and gymming and dietitians, and you could just get your body healthy. Student accommodation. Junior is very connected into students. Do we have some of this building for student accommodation? Lindsay, and I'm at liberty here, but Lindsay and her mom have a gift with hospitality. Can we do a really boutique hotel here with conferencing downstairs? Because that's her gift. They are brilliant at hospitality. Do we have some residential apartments that some of us can invest in, but others, and this is where I live, can live there as well? Who wouldn't want to live in a place where you've got a sports center down, you've got your school there, you've got all your mates hanging around? What an amazing place to live. That we can do another couple of floors of office space. We've already got co-workers here. We've got Toby. We've got a couple of guys co-working with us. And we can rent up a whole floor. Can be amazing co-work space. I have a passion. One of the things I feel God's spoken to me about is even a premium outlet mall in America, or like Access Park in Cape Town, where we take branded products, the last year's or last season's fashion, and we put it at discounted rates, and we have a few shops there. We also could do an artisanal, what I call retail theater. When I go to the farmer's market on Sunday, one of the reasons we all go there is we love to meet the guys making the goods and services or food. It's almost like retail theater. And likewise, this is a big deal. It's a big trend in the world today. And we could facilitate retail theater on a couple of floors. Where when you go there, it's an experience. And then you can buy your stuff online afterwards. But you want an experience. I'm kind of giving it all away here. But I trust you start to see how we could. Now, if we do this with skillful, and I really do mean, we have skillful people who have land developed before. And we start to create the space. This becomes an income generating space. And then let me speak a little bit then about the structure. And I've said it before, but the PT that we've structured is that Citadel is a PTY Limited, which is owned by City Life, whose mandate is to help the poor. And right in the middle is Citygate Church. And the church must be free to do what the church does. The church, what we call to do, is make disciples. That's what we call to do. We are called to be these people, this radical family of abundant life, where you just want what we have because we have Holy God, the one who created the universe, living in and through us. And so, and that's what we spend our do. We minister and we make disciples. We don't need to. And then, depending on your gift, you either, if you're gifted in business and land development, come and serve in this PTY Limited Citadel, because that's your gift. If you have a passion for the poor, if you want to, like Tando, do Rhythm of a Grace and help, or education, or you feel called to do medical and use your medical gift to help people, or whatever that gift is, then come, you can do that through a vehicle like City Life. If you feel called to preach the gospel and make disciples and be full-time in ministry and write books and just bless the world, then come and minister, and maybe you're called to eldership and full-time eldership, and then you can come and minister at Citygate. But the point is, we have vehicles here that enable your gift and call in a very radical way. And so we start to administrate. That's what ministry is. It's the administration of Christ's kingdom from heaven to earth. And when Solomon did that, the whole of the world came and saw what he was doing. Likewise, when we start to do this through architecture, the whole world will come and say, "My, what is this?" And that's when we say to them, "Come to my dining room table and let me tell you about Jesus. Here's our vision. Here's our life." Like Nigel did, it was his vision of Christ that inspired him to design these unbelievable buildings. And so one of the prayers is that we want to start giving into this. And we are seeing different ways you can give. You can, if as a company give to City Life, well, this is amazing, by using these vehicles as well, and get a Section 18A certificate and claim, and then get a tax break for that. You can invest in the Citadel and actually invest in the Citadel, and we'll create a special purpose vehicle that you can have shares in. So you can give, but you can also actually invest. And you can choose to check out at one point. And what I think is going to happen is you're actually just going to give it to God. When you start giving to God, as all these businessmen, you've seen them, when they've given 30% of their business, some of them 50%. Let's go and listen to what Bertie Lawrence in Unlock Your Business gave 51% of his business to God. Look what's happening in his life. So we have a vehicle where businessmen can actually give us their equity. Come give God, not us, give God some equity. Here's a vehicle in which you can do it. And there's skillful people that are managing those assets. So you'll get a return. Or you can just give to the church. If you feel you just want to give, give to the church. So you, no matter where you want to give, but what I hope you're seeing here is that we're being very creative by the gift of the Holy Spirit to actually take the kingdom and establish the kingdom of heaven on earth, of heaven onto earth. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, it's been a great morning. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have. Remember, kids, you are those three things. What are they again? I've forgotten them. You must take risks, because Jesus got your back. Do not be afraid. Matthew 14:27. Search for treasure. Jeremiah 33. Don't worry about the snake. We mustn't be worried. You know what? We must become like children. These scriptures are for us. We mustn't be afraid. Let's not worry about the snake that wants to get us. And let's just eat the chicken. Face your fear and crush it. In Jesus' name.